science.
Research filter time now, and my guest this week is Lyndall Byford, Director of News and Partnerships at the Australian Science Media Centre in Adelaide. Hello.
Good evening.
There you are. So this has been a bit of a theme on Research Filter this year, where the validity of cliches are going under the microscope. We had breakfast is the most important meal of the day the other week. Today it's the best medicine is a good night's sleep. Is it?
Well, it seems it's pretty good for you. There's a, your mum was onto something, or your nana in my case, who always said the best thing when you're feeling a bit sick is to go to bed and sleep it off. And actually, it turns out they're right.
Okay, so tell me the science behind all of this. Who's come up with this?
So this is a group of researchers in Germany, and they're looking at a part of your immune system called a T cell, which is a white blood cell, basically. And one of the things that T cells have to do is find infected cells in your body, and then they have to stick to them before they can kill them. And so one of the ways that your immune system can either be boosted or sort of dampened down is by changing how well these T cells can stick to these virus-infected cells. And up till now, a lot of research has really focused on ways to kind of boost their ability to stick. But what these researchers have found is that some hormones, like adrenaline and other stress hormones, can actually affect the sort of master switch that makes them less sticky. So, and the nice thing about sleep is it actually lowers these kind of levels of stress hormones.
Yes, which you know if you've had a bout of insomnia like I did last week and I was like feeling so stressed and then I slept and now I'm feeling really relaxed.
Exactly. Well, I've got two small kids, so I swear that they're making me sick just through lack of sleep.
Oh, they are. Look, my kid's nearly 10. Let me tell you, life changes 10 years in. You're like, when's the last time I actually slept? Now, the other side of this, shock horror, stress can make you more susceptible to illness. But these German scientists have some new revelations in that area too. What are they saying there?
Well, that's right. So just the same way that sleep sort of calms our levels of these stress hormones, if you have a bad night's sleep or if you're really highly stressed for some reason, the levels of these hormones go up. So one of them is adrenaline, which we all know anytime you're feeling stressed, that's the sort of hormone that makes your heart beat fast and gives you that fight or flight kind of response. So, and that hormone has the opposite effect. It really sort of dampens down the stickiness of these T cells, which means they find it, you know, harder to really lock on to the virus-infected cells and could make you sicker. So this is really sort of a biological pathway, if you like, for why sleep can make you feel better and why stress can make you more susceptible to infection.
All right, let's move on to something else. And to help illustrate the next piece of research you've got for us, I reckon we need a little bit of sound. Here we go. Now, Lyndall, what's the cocktail party problem all about?
Sorry?
What's the cocktail party problem all about?
Sorry, I can't quite hear what you're saying there.
Okay. Oh, you're killing it. Okay, we can turn that down. Get rid of it. That's the crowd noise, please. I love that. We both clearly should have gone into, we should have been thespians. We should be on the stage. What's the cocktail
party? Year 12 drama coming to its forefront.
I know. I was always happy being Desdemona. What's the cocktail party problem all about?
So, look, this is really the brain's ability to sort of filter out unnecessary background information and sound in this case and focus on something specific. So the way that we can essentially carry on a conversation with one person, even in a noisy cocktail party.
Okay. So the Free University of Brussels has found out this affects kids aged 6 to 9 as well as adults, right?
Yeah, so adults are quite good at this sort of cocktail party effect. So if you're in a fairly noisy room, you can usually focus quite well on the person in front of you and not be too distracted or confused by the outside noise. But we know it's something that actually sort of develops as you get older. But researchers weren't quite sure at what age this really sort of develops and whether kids have this ability. So they took a group of kids, sort of 6 to 9 year old kids, and put them through some brain scans while they essentially read them a story. The kids listened to an audiobook, and then they added different levels of background information, background noise, cocktail party type noise into that story as they were being read it, and then really looked at whether their brains were able to pay attention to that story above the background noise. And it turns out kids are nowhere near as good at this as adults. And actually at that age of sort of 6 to 9, they do struggle as the background volume goes up to actually pay attention to the speaker's voice.
Oh, I feel really bad now towards my children. They're exactly in that age group, and I've always been rather hard on them when there's a lot of noise.
It explains why they don't listen to me when the TV's on.
Yeah, it all makes sense. It's not possibly because they want to deliberately ignore us, is it?
Never.
All right, lastly, University of Oxford researchers have given us this reassuring headline this week. Violence in video games unlikely to spill over into teens' real lives. Unlikely? Unlikely? Is there a chance?
Well, scientists will never say definitely on anything. We don't deal with black and white ever. So
no.
This is about as good as it gets, I think, in so far in these types of studies about video games. It's been very contentious. And the issue, obviously, is even if it's a small increase in violence, there's so many kids playing these games that could have a big impact on society. But it's very reassuring. What these researchers have found is that they looked at 1,000 kids in the UK, sort of 14 to 15-year-olds, asked them about what games they play and how often they play, and then how violent their behaviours was. But importantly, they also asked their parents and carers how violent these kids' behaviours were when they were playing their games or afterwards. And they've absolutely found no link between kids who play more violent video games and having increased violence in real life.
Okay, but not definitive.
Well, nothing's... Well, no one study in science is ever definitive, but the really good thing about this study, and this is a bit of a new thing that scientists are doing, is they've done it through what's called a registered report protocol, which basically means the scientists say before they do the study, this is the question we're looking at and this is the way we're going to investigate it. What do you think? And other scientists review it and say, yeah, that's a good way to do it. So regardless of their outcome, it's sort of verified from the beginning.
Lyndall, thank you so much for being my guest. Lyndall Byford there. She's the Director of News and Partnerships at the Australian Science Media Centre in Adelaide.